Take your Bibles, Luke chapter number 7. The Gospel of Luke, as you begin the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Luke in chapter number 7. If you were in the 8:30 service, you've already been in the book of Luke. If you weren't in the 8:30 service and you're going at 11, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It was a great message this morning. It was an encouragement from Luke. And I'm not going to give you much more than that, but you're going to really enjoy it. You say, if you give me a snippet, I don't even have to go. I got the summary and I can go home early. I'm not doing it. And so you're going to have to go figure it out. But it was from Luke and it was good. And I'll be in there with you and the Lord will bless it. And we'll look forward to that time together. Luke chapter 7 is where we're going to be in just a minute. I do want to thank everyone for being in attendance today. And been looking forward to class and just being together, grateful for what God is doing here and excited about our time together today around His Word. It, for me, in a series, the first lesson of a series is always a challenge, and the last lesson, because you're trying to kind of summarize everything in a way that you can take it home. And so I've entitled today's lesson, Hang in There, It's Worth It. Hang in there, it's worth it. And we've been talking about heart connections. How do we connect with the hearts of those in our family, and then guide and direct our hearts to the heart of the Lord. One of the most tragic events during the Reagan administration was the Sunday morning terrorist bombing of the Marine barracks in Beirut. On this day, hundreds of Americans were killed or wounded as they slept on October the 23rd of 1983. A few days after the tragedy, Marine Corps Commander Paul Kelly visited some of the wounded in a hospital in Frankfurt, Germany. Among them was Corporal Jeffrey Lee Nashton, who was severely wounded in the incident. Nashton, it was said, had so many tubes running in and out of his body that a witness said he looked more like a machine than a human, yet he survived. As Kelly neared his bedside the day that he came to visit, Nashton, who was struggling to move and was racked with pain, motioned for a piece of paper and a pen. He wrote a brief note and passed it to the commander. The commander opened the note and read the words, Semper Fi, the Latin motto of the Marines, meaning always faithful. God says, moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Oftentimes, the reason a family gets off track and heads toward destruction is not because of one major problem, it's because they were no longer faithful. Sometimes the reason children don't make it is because parents are no longer faithful. Sometimes the reason a marriage will begin to disintegrate is because we're no longer faithful. And my challenge as we conclude this series on heart connections is hang in there, it's worth it. God blesses faithfulness. Julie Andrews says, perseverance is failing 19 times and succeeding on the 20th. Newt Gingrich said, perseverance is the hard work you do after you get tired of doing the hard work you've already done. And sometimes that's the way it feels for sure. Walter Elliott said, perseverance is not a long race. It is many short races, one after another. Sometimes when we're fatigued and at the end of ourselves, it's time to run another one. And sometimes that's how it feels in running the race for our family. The Bible says, a just man falleth seven times, yet riseth up again. The question is not whether or not we will fall. Every one of us in this room will fall. The question is not whether or not this will be a tiring pursuit. It will wear all of us out as we strive to live for the Lord and to please Him and to honor Him in our marriages and in our families. It's a work that we cannot do in our own strength and we can only do in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need Him, but we must be committed to hang in there because it's worth it. Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that your children are going to write your obituary? Have you ever asked yourself what they're going to say? How will your children remember you? Luke chapter 7 and verse 35. Would you draw your attention with me to this small verse? Because from this I want to launch into this thought. Luke chapter 7 and verse 35. The Bible says, but wisdom is justified of all her children. It's a small verse. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. But wisdom is justified of all her children. What does that mean? That verse means that the soundness of an idea is rendered indisputable by the testimony of its result. When you see the end of a thing, it is proof of what went into developing that. When you see a strong marriage, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of togetherness, you can say the ingredients that went into that, that's to be applauded. It worked. When you see children in their 20s and 30s loving God and living for Him, you can look back at a mom and dad and say, hats off to them. What they did worked. The proof is in the pudding. The result is testimony of the idea and the energy that went into it. And we've been talking about training up a child in the way he should go, so when he is old, he will not depart from it. Every one of us in this room whom God has blessed with children have a desire that our children would please God, that they would live for God, that above all else, they would hear at the end of their life from God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But from where we are to where that may be, there's a journey. And along that journey, there will be many opportunities to quit. There'll be many opportunities to pursue a different path. There'll be many opportunities to give up and to try something else. And we must be encouraged today as we think of the importance of the task that we have been given to hang in there, because it's worth it. So this morning, as we conclude this series, may we be willing to hear. May we be willing to heed. May we be willing to make the adjustments necessary while there is still time. Are you ever amazed at how fast time goes? You ever sit there and think it will be like that? Your children will be gone. And the time that we really have to make the impression that God wants us to make is so short. And while we have time, while the concrete is still wet, while there is still opportunity, may we be willing to hear and to heed and make the adjustments necessary, that our homes would be a place that glorifies and honors God. So how can we hang in there? Because it's worth it. Number one, determine failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. Failure is not an option. You must be committed to your family, and you cannot quit. A just man falls seven times, yet riseth up again. When we lose our fight, we lose. Listen. If being married for the entire length of life was easy, more people would be doing it. It's not. If rearing children and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord was easy, more people would be doing it. It's not. It's going to take work to have a great marriage. It's going to take work to have a good family. It's going to take work to invest the biblical example and path that God has planned into your children. And this is something you must be committed to. It is something that you must pour your all into, and you must at a heart level be committed. Failure is not an option. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, what you are doing to invest in your marriage, what you are doing to invest in your family, Satan is going to try to convince you it doesn't matter, but I want to remind you this morning it does. It matters. God will bless it. It's needful, and we must be committed not to give up. Failure is not an option. We've got to hang in there and be committed to our family. In this season of commitment, what must we do? Letter A, aim high. Aim high. Remember the lesson in this series when we learned about guiding our children, and I brought in the example of the bow and arrow, and we talked about the importance of being right on at the release, because if we're just off slightly at the release, by the time it reaches the target, will greatly affect where it lands on the target. And can I challenge all of us in this room, in our marriages and our families, to aim high, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Aim high in your family for the Lord. Aim high in your marriage for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Michelangelo said the greater danger for most of us isn't that we aim too high and miss it, but that we aim too low and reach it. Sometimes we've just kind of adapted this approval of this way of living in our marriage and our family that is way beneath the privileges of being a child of God. Aim high in your family. Zig Ziglar said a goal properly set is halfway reached. And so know where you're going and aim yourself high. Set high goals for your marriage and your family. Don't be content with anything less than a heart connection. Well, my spouse and I right now, we're not enjoying a connection at a heart level. Why? You've got God. You've got His Word. You've got a church. You've got everything you need in your corner to succeed. So if you're not succeeding, can I just in love say, figure it out. Get help. Do whatever you got to do. But there's no excuse for any marriage in this room to be at a point of, well, we're just not what we should be, and be content with that. Why? We serve a God who can fix it. You have the power of the Word of God for instruction. You have people here that will help you. You've got everything you need to put into practice to say, hey, let's get this thing on track. Let's get the help that we need. We need to aim high. We need to aim high with our children as well. God has blessed us with the future. And may you and I aim high in the development of their life and their heart for God. Nothing less than living a life that pleases and honors the Lord is acceptable. And may you and I aim high towards that goal. But let it be. May we implement what we have learned. Failure is not an option, so we've got to implement what we have learned. I think we'd all be in agreement this morning that our children are at risk, that Satan is after the next generation of the United States of America. And let's be honest, throwing it into autopilot is not going to get it done. Doing what we've just always done is not going to accomplish the task at hand. We've got to implement what we are learning. Jim Rohn said, you cannot change your destination overnight, but you can change your direction overnight. Let's be honest. Have we made changes during this series? Have we made adjustments, or have we been guilty of coming, sitting, attending, listening, going home, and remaining the same? And expecting maybe a deeper heart connection, or expecting a more spiritual house, or expecting a stronger marriage, or a greater relationship with our children. But when in reality, we've done nothing to bring that result to pass. Einstein said, continue to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is insanity. So we've got to implement what we have learned. John 13, 17, the Bible says, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It's not enough just to know them. You've got to put them into practice and make them a part of your life. Those things Paul said, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Take the time to implement what we have learned. We talked about in this series so many things. We talked about what is the goal? What is the purpose of your marriage and home? We talked about the power of team and working together. We talked about the power of no. We talked about raising the bar. We talked about guiding our children. We talked about the laws of biblical chastening. We talked about what a biblical home looks like. We talked about the power of reward. We talked about being Velcro or cactus in our relationships. We talked about tying together. We talked about so many things based on the Word of God to help us in our relationships. We can't just hear it. We've got to be doers of the Word as well. We've got to implement what we have learned. So failure is not an option. We've got to be committed to this thing. Aim high in your marriage and family. Implement what you have learned. Be able to look back after a series like this and be able to articulate some things that now are different in your marriage or family life as a result of what you have learned and implemented in your personal life, marriage, and home. Number two, hang in there because it's worth it. But recognize, secondly, a heart connection will require hard work. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:4, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Keeping up with the stable wasn't an envy job, but the work that could be accomplished as a result of the oxen was a great benefit. Listen, having a connection at a heart level is going to take some hard work. And it's time for us in this room as husband and wife and father and mother to recommit. It's time to figure it out. It's time to make the adjustments necessary. It's time to be more than we were. It's time to grow. It's time to surrender our life to God. It's time to get out of the rut that we have fallen into. It's time to yield to the Holy Spirit's power in our life. It is time to claim the strength that only comes from God and that we need. We cannot do it alone, but we can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Every man in this room can be the husband that God wants him to be with God's help. Every lady in this room can be the wife that God wants you to be with God's help. Every parent in this room can be the parent that God wants you to be with his help. And so we must pursue that with a greater intensity than ever before. And we must adapt a new strategy, and that is a biblical one. Because if we are not willing to change, then our children will not get any better. We have to be willing to do our part, to put in the work to make the heart connections necessary. Now, when we think about this work, can I warn you? Letter A, this work will not be popular. This work will be unpopular. It will be unpopular because it is a biblical work. The Bible says in Isaiah, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." There are things we've discussed in this series together as a class that they're not the popular norm of parental ideas in 2019. You're not going to read them in a lot of blogs. You're not going to find authors that maybe would come in agreement in their manuscript. But I want to tell you, they're true and they're right and they will work because they are God's. God created you and God created me. God originated marriage and God put the home together. And He desires that we would operate it according to His will. And we must engage in this work, however unpopular it may be, is irrelevant because it is a biblical work. And can I challenge all of us this morning? Then because of the fact that we are involved in a biblical work, we must redeem the time because the days are evil. We don't know how much time we have left. We don't know how much time we have in investing in our family, but we must invest all that we can. We must be committed to this work of making these connections and developing a home that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. This work is going to be unpopular, but it's biblical and it's worthy of our all. But letter B, this work should be focused on eternity and not on the here and now. The Bible says in Colossians 3:2, "Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth." Can I challenge all of us this morning to ponder for a moment what really matters? What really matters? Revelation 4:11 tells us this: "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." Every one of us in this room have a purpose. And that purpose is to please God. Amen. The purpose of my existence and your existence is not to make money. It's not to have fun. It's not to amass the most amount of stuff. It's not to visit the most places. It's not to live in the nicest house or drive the nicest car or have more shoes in my closet than you have in yours. That's not the purpose. Now, along the way, God may give a blessing and thank the Lord for that, for every good gift coming from the Father above. But the purpose, the reason you and I are drawing breath right now, is to please God. And you know what Satan is a master at today? Deflecting our attention from what really matters. We get so caught up into stuff. And what's interesting is we get so passionate about stuff that at the end of the day, when reality settles, it doesn't even matter. But if we're not careful, we find ourselves more passionate and involved in that than what really matters for an eternity. And we must remember in a series like this, God, You've given me a family, a marriage, and a children, and our purpose is to please and honor You. Is that what we're doing? Is that our end goal? Is that our purpose? Is that our focus? Is that where we're going? Do we strive to please You in our marriage, in our family, above all else? And don't forget, class, this morning, that the Bible says in Romans 14:12, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." And I don't say that this morning to kind of bring over this dark gray cloud and make you feel guilty and now scared and a recognition of the fact you're going to give an account. But on the other hand, it's the absolute truth that every one of us are going to stand and give an account of our life to God. You will stand before the Creator of the universe and you will give an account for your life. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, thank God you're not going to have to give an account for your sin, for they've been forgiven. They've been paid for by the blood of Christ. But God had a purpose for your life. God has a plan. God has a will. God has something he wants you to accomplish, and you're going to stand and you're going to give an account that God gave you X number of days, and God gave you the resources, and God gave you the gifts, and here's what God wanted you to accomplish, and how did you do? What a sad day that will be for many Christians whom God has given time and talent and resources to do something great for him that matters for an eternity, but quite frankly, it was wasted on stuff down here and never his will was accomplished as a result. May that not be said of us in this room. But that's not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to recognize there's a work to be done. And I've got to put the work in. And I've got to recognize what's really important, and I can't allow Satan to distract me over here and to distract me over here and all of my life and energy and resources going to stuff that in light of eternity doesn't even matter. I've got to get back to what's really important. I want my kids to play sports and win. I hate to lose, but that's not the most important thing. I want my kids to get the best grades they can, and we strive for that, but that's not the most important thing. I want my kids to know how to play instruments and to serve God in that capacity, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that my kids know God and that they please Him. That their life is lived for His honor and glory. That's the most important thing. That's the secret sauce. That's what's got to be at the inner core of every marriage and home in this room, that there is a passion to please God. Don't forget what is most important. I read the story of a father who buckled his two-year-old into the car seat while carrying his infant in her little carrier. While he was putting the two-year-old in the car seat, he set the infant in the carrier on top of the roof of the car. While getting distracted, he pulled away and got onto the freeway. While driving, he heard the scraping on the roof of his car just in time to check his mirror to see the baby seat flying off into the lane of traffic behind him at 50 miles an hour. Another motorist behind him screeched on the brakes and stopped just in time and got out to check on the baby in amazement to find the girl completely unharmed and laughing. It was a miracle. It's also a coincidence this happened on Mother's Day. If that ever happened to me, it would happen to me on Mother's Day, would it not? There's just some things you cannot forget. Friend, listen to me. It may right now seem like it's really hard to discern what's important. Listen, that dad had one job. Get two kids in the car. He forgot one. Thankfully, she's still alive. But as you and I listen to that story, to us, it is clearly obvious. Dude, put the baby in the car. Can I be honest with you in love? We're going to stand before God someday, and it is going to be so obvious what was important. And we're going to stand there like, what was I thinking? How did I miss that? Wait, we didn't even think about that. That wasn't even important. That wasn't even a topic of conversation. That wasn't even high on the list. I'm telling you, there's going to come a day of reckoning where that is going to be so clear what is important. We need moments like this right now, together as a class, where we clear away the clutter of this world and say, hey, Lord, help us in the here and now to remember what's important. Help us to be passionate in our marriage and families about pleasing you and connecting at a heart level, connecting with you at heart. Why? Because, number three, it's worth it. I have no greater joy, 3 John 4, than to hear that my children walk in truth. Listen, family life can be challenging and marriages can be trying and raising children can have some unexpected detours for sure. And there can be conflicts and there can be discipline and there can be messes and there can be hurts and temptation and risk, but it's worth it. There's trips to the emergency room. There's sports injuries. There's romantic struggles. There's paying of the bills. And we could go on and on, but it is worth it if we will do it God's way. And it's worth it, letter A, because God is pleased. I love the scriptures in John 14. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, but the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. And notice this in 2 John in verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. We have heard for a number of weeks truths, principles, commandments, precepts from the Word of God. You know what God is saying? If you love me, walk in them. If you love me, then it should be obvious by the way you're living your life and your marriage and your home that you're not walking according to your own will and desires, but that you are walking according to the instruction of the Word of God. I think as we conclude a series on the home, that a great desire of all of us should be, Lord, may our home be evident that you live there. We know we live there. But does your home, does my home reflect that God resides there? Is it obvious that the Creator of the universe lives in your house? Does your marriage reflect the fact that Christ is preeminent in your relationship? Do your children have a heart for God? I was walking out of the house this morning. Joseph said, Dad, what are you teaching on? And I always tease my kids. You know, I always say the same thing. I'm teaching them how to spank kids this morning, you know. And it's kind of a running joke in our home, you know, of what we're doing in here while they're in their class, you know. And he laughed, and I think I said, I'm teaching on hang in there because it's worth it. He said, Dad, that's awesome. I prayed for you this morning, and I went to my car and I left. And I was driving here, and I was thinking, that's pretty cool. Amen. And I'm thankful that God gave me a son that on his own this morning thought, I want to pray for Dad today because he's going to teach the Word of God. Do our kids have a heart for God? Is it evident that God is in our home? It's worth it. And we know that God is pleased. And let her be in lastly. Our children will be grateful. I love the description of the praise given to a virtuous woman. The Bible says in Proverbs 38:21, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. I did not grow up in a perfect home. Nobody in this room has. But I grew up in a wonderful home. My mom and dad recently celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary. My dad's pastored the same church now for 32 years. In a couple of weeks, they'll host their 30th teen camp for teenagers to learn about God. Just so many things. God's blessed and honored because they've been faithful. And I've been blessed by that. And I can look back on my mom and dad's life and their legacy and their faithfulness. And it's an encouragement to me. It's a challenge to me. Some of you know my dad's testimony. When he was 7 years old, his stepfather murdered his mother and then committed suicide. My dad began at the age of 7, went from foster home to group home to different environments. It wasn't until he was in high school his biological father got custody of him. At that time, on his fourth marriage. My dad had a rough upbringing. Had lots of excuses. I could have grown up in any number of circumstances, and all of them, by this world standards, would have been justified. But I grew up in a home with a mom and a dad who loved each other and loved God. I grew up in a home where there was never alcohol or drugs one time in our home. I grew up in a home where we went to church every time the doors were open. The question was never asked, are we going to church? I grew up in a home of a mom and a dad who had been there, done that, and who had determined this is going to be different. And they had one passion, and that was loving God. And that's the environment I grew up in. To be honest, having that environment in my home is the only acceptable outcome. Anything less is failure. Now, that's what God expects of me. For some of you, you're like my parents. You got every excuse in the book for why it shouldn't be what it is, but you can change it. And your kids will be the beneficiary. Some of you have been handed what I have, and that is a godly heritage. And my challenge to you is nothing but continuing that faith is acceptable. So hang in there. It's worth it. It pleases God. And I'm telling you, your kids will look back someday and say, Mom, Dad, thank you. Thank you. I have some things in here that have helped me in life more than anything else you could have ever given. Thank you for connecting me with God and for giving me a passion for Him down deep in my heart. May we take what we have learned and implement it, and may our marriages and homes never be the same. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word and the opportunity to gather and to learn. Lord, I love our class. I love our time together. I love the fellowship. I love the family atmosphere. I love it all. And God, I pray that you would help us together as a class to hang in there because it's worth it. And may we implement what we have learned. May we apply these principles. May we make the adjustments necessary. And as a result, may our marriages and may our families be strengthened. And may it be obvious that you reside in us and that we have a passionate love for you and a biblical pursuit of your purpose for our life. God, I pray that you bless every home. And as we prepare next week to launch this new series on Overcomer, I pray that we would come anticipating, what do you have for us? Come bringing a guest with us. They might learn these truths as well. And may we truly live the victorious life that you've destined and created for us. And we promise for this to love and to praise you and to thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.